good Saturday morning. Welcome into another edition of Ask the Experts. Thanks so much for joining us on this cloudy, wintry morning. It's a lovely morning to curl up with a cup of cocoa and sit beside the radio. Well, we welcome Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner from Power Mortgages. Didn't that make you feel cozy?
Pretty darn good, Dave. It's as snowy as it was.
Hey, you know, this is perfect packing snow. I declared official snowman, snow fort, and snowball day.
I was
perfect
worried.
Snow for that.
I was worried before you got here because Kevin already remarked, this is great snowball weather, and I thought I was going to get pelted.
I actually started my day by going out on the deck, making a snowball and throwing it, and I've declared it's a go-to-the-cottage toboggan throw snowball day for sure.
Okay, well, we all know who your target will be, so I'm afraid you're doomed, Kevin. Welcome into the show, everyone, and on the show today, we are going to be discussing the Americanization of credit in Canada. And throughout the hour, if you've got questions or comments, you can call us at 519-570-2545. If you're out of town, 1-800-570-5715 or *570 on your cell phone. Now, in recent years, as a result of the failure of the real estate market and the banking system in the U.S., Canadian banks, they went down to the U.S. market. They bought some small American banks that came up for sale because they were rather attractively priced. And it appears that rather than taking our good practices and applying them in the U.S. banks, because that would baffle the Americans, they've done the opposite. They've imported U.S. credit practices to Canada. So we're going to discuss that today, whether that's a good thing or not. And comments?
Well, I would suggest that you just look at the American banking and real estate businesses, markets right now, and think, geez, didn't they learn anything from that? Like, although what it has done is it's taught the banks how to really wrap the Canadian consumer up in a very needless way and to over-securitize their lending, which means that Canadians are being put into a position that they've never been put into before with lenders and should not be put into.
All right. Anyone else wish to deliver an opening comment?
Well, I'm just going to say that I think we are better off sticking with our own a little more prudent ways of lending. We've opened up too much, I think, credit card lending, and people are getting a little bit too comfortable with their credit cards. But I think if we stick to our lenders stick to some of the prudent ways they've been working, we're going to do just fine.
Yes, but Jessica, these lenders who are foisting credit cards onto everybody, left, right, and center, and raising the credit limits on them to skyrocketing levels, have found a new way, and having learned this from their American cousins, a new way to securitize and lessen their risk by using homes.
And that's pretty scary, and we're going to look into how the banks are starting to cover themselves in every way possible by increasing the risk to the borrowers,
as opposed to themselves.
Exactly.
And how risky it has become for Canadians when they don't realize really what they're doing. Just to sort of further on this, there was a study on HELOCs. And HELOCs mean home equity lines of credit. And these are just your lines of credit that you put on your home that the bank offers you. And a research study was taken to find out, well, what do people know about these HELOCs? You know, how much knowledge do people have about this product that that's an industry that has grown in double digits annually in the last 10 or 15 years? Like, this is the fastest rising credit program out there right now. And for people that did not have a HELOC, a home equity line of credit, 59% of them thought, gee, I know a lot about this. You know, like, I really know a lot about HELOCs. And then when they gave them a little true and false test afterwards, would have found out that only 38% of those people could answer half of those questions correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they moved on to people that actually do have HELOCs and felt really knowledgeable about the product that they had, only 43% of them could answer half of the HELOC questions correctly. So, in fact, whether you had a HELOC or you didn't, basically you didn't know what the heck you had and how it worked. And certainly the lender didn't give you any information on that. I mean, you should have come out of that meeting after you'd signed away the equity in your house. You should have known exactly what you had, and when in fact very few knew anything about what they had.
I have a sneaking suspicion Kevin wants to say something.
But in continuing with our open volley, and actually even a preview into next week's show, which really is going to be dealing with a lot of the documentation that's being used to secure these different types of lending products that the Canadian banks have been putting into consumers' hands for quite a few years right now. The most amazing thing, I guess, in terms of some of the questions, and I don't know which questions were asked of these particular consumers, however, I am willing to bet that the majority of people didn't actually fully understand that they had actually pledged their property as security to support these home equity lines of credits or HELOCs. The number of people that I have come into my office over the years, when I ask them about if they're homeowners, if they have any mortgages on it, it's truly amazing the number of responses when I get, no, we do not have a mortgage on our property. We do have a line of credit, though. And the people would even argue with me on occasion when I say to them, well, you actually have a mortgage registered against your property and in support of your line of credit. No, I don't. I got a line of credit. And my standard response is, miss a couple of payments and see what'll happen.
You know, line of credit or HELOC, HELOC is the bank's word for a line of credit. Line of credit is what the average Canadian consumer uses. But we in the mortgage brokerage business have a word for a HELOC or a line of credit, mm-hmm. and it's called collateral mortgage. So, and that more aptly describes, in fact, what you actually have. Now, you can call a pig a swine or Miss Piggy or whatever you want, but it's still a pig. And you can call it a HELOC, a line of credit, but it's still a collateral mortgage.
Am I the only one who thinks HELOC sounds like a race from Star Trek?
Doesn't it?
Very little is known about the HELOCs, apparently.
A truer word couldn't be said. Very little is known about the HELOCs.
The HELOCs. Always remember that.
The day of the triffids.
So, but the bank is never going to tell you that the HELOC is, what you, as you said, a collateral mortgage.
No. No, they're not. And the unfortunate thing is that the Bank Act really doesn't require that the banks do the kind of disclosure that the law requires mortgage brokers and agents to do. That we run under much stricter legal constraints than the lending institutions do. And I suppose I can see why, when you look at our small Waterloo office and compare it to, you know, the Big Five's head offices or even any of their branches, that they have a lot more sway in how the laws are written. But I do know that when it came time to rewrite the very old Mortgage Brokers and Lenders Act 4 or 5 years ago, I was part of the IMBA, the Independent Mortgage Brokers Association, and we worked with that along with CAMP, another Canadian Mortgage Brokers Association. And we worked very, very hard at creating a law along with the government and getting a law passed that worked significantly in tightening up lending practices and disclosures and the behaviors and in protecting consumers within that law. It desperately needed a revising, and instead of going to the government and saying we want less protections and less interference in our industry, we want more protections, we want more disclosure, and we want this to be about protecting the consumer and doing what's right for the consumer. And that's how that law was basically written. And it also required education which wasn't required up to that point. Anybody could have been a mortgage agent, and all they had to do was pay their license fee. They weren't required to have any kind of education at that point.
My guest today on Ask the Experts, we're talking with Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner of Power Mortgages. You'll find them at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo and online at powermortgages.ca. You can give their offices a call at 519-886-1993. When we come back, we'll go further into this discussion. Has the importation of U.S. credit practices been in any way a good thing for Canadians? That's one of the questions we'll ask, and we'd love to hear from you as well. If you've got questions, 519-570-2545, out of town, 1-800-570-5715, or star 570, hands-free on your cell phone. Ask the Experts returns in just a couple of minutes here on 570 News. Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner join me today from Power Mortgages, online at powermortgages.ca. And our topic, the Americanization of credit in Canada. Just before we get back to that, though, it's time for Kevin to give us this week's show specials. What do you got?
Thanks, Dave, and thanks for the twisting of the arm and the elbow in, while we went to commercial break.
I think you're getting used to it.
Yeah, I'm very flexible right now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, these rates, there is actually considerable pressure on interest rates at the moment to increase, so these rates are currently available. We're not quite sure how long we're actually going to have them. And with that being said, I would recommend to anybody that is planning on buying a home in the near future to actually go out, get pre-approved for a mortgage, get an interest rate locked in, and take advantage of the interest rates that are available today. Currently, we are offering five-year mortgages with an interest rate guarantee for 120 days at 3.49%. We will further discount those interest rates, and this is for new business only, subject to credit approval, and closing within 30 days, we will offer the first three callers for a new mortgage, purchase of a property, refinance or switch transfer, five-year money at 3.29%. Variable rate mortgage today, bank prime's at 3. We're not offering any discounts. We're not offering any pluses. So prime even is the best variable rate mortgage product we have today. And 7 and 10-year mortgages, we have 7 and 10-year money available at 3.99%.
Woohoo!
Very good.
Almost like free.
I love that.
So, if you'd like to take advantage of these almost like free rates, all you have to do is give Kevin a call right after the show is done at 519-240-2967. That's 240-2967.
Now, the reason why we're projecting interest rates to go up in, and we're projecting them to go up in fixed term, is because what, as we've said many times before, what decides where fixed term rates, I'm not talking about variable rate terms, what determines where fixed rate term interest rates go is the bond market, and there has been recent pressure on the bond market to raise these rates. The interest rates on the bond market are increasing, and that means that that money reflects on variable or fixed rate mortgage money. And as the bond market goes, so goes fixed rate mortgage money.
Okay. As we said, we're going to continue with our topic today. So I'll ask the question, has the importation of U.S. credit practices been a good thing in any way for Canadians?
Only in one way, and in my informed opinion, and that is easy access to continuing credit facilities, basically revolving credit with an assigned credit limit on it. Basically, it's a one-time approval transaction, and you continue to draw against that particular credit facility for extended periods of time, so long as you have room remaining on your limit. In a lot of cases, if you tighten up to your limit, lenders always seem to find a way to increase your limit and keep the ball rolling. The people that benefit the most on any of these borrowing facilities is truly the lenders, and that'll kind of tie into, our continuing topic on this, in that the financial institutions only really have to do the work to set these credit facilities up once and basically reap the rewards of people continuing to use these things. They basically base everything on minimum payments, and the monthly bill goes out and the cash keeps rolling in. It's a great deal for the lenders. And they make money on credit cards. No matter how you use them, whether you pay the balance off in full, whether you pay any interest or not, merchant fees. Merchant fees are great when it comes to financial institutions and credit card companies.
Now, I was sign language, Gene.
I was going, what are you doing?
Maybe we should do a little clarification here because we fell into KPBS. And that's my, for when Kevin becomes prone to being misunderstood. When Kevin says credit facility, in that particular case, what he was actually saying was credit card.
Ah.
That's what he meant.
But I said it was an informed opinion, and credit facility sounds a whole lot more professional than credit card.
Well, I was going to ask, though, because you said credit facility. I thought credit card, but I thought, well, that could cover other things as well, could it not?
Yes, it could. Unsecured or secured lines of credit.
But he was talking about revolving credit there, and that was credit cards. It was sort of like the HELOCs. Facilities, HELOCs, credit facilities.
I'm going to ask you now to all put on your headphones because we do have a call. So everyone, headphones on so that we can hear Zach, who's calling in from Cambridge. Hello, Zach. You're on 570 News. Hi, Zach. Are you there?
Nope.
Did we lose Zach?
We must have.
All right, well, if Zach is still there, we'll go right back to the phone in just a
second. I must have answered his question with my hand signals here. My mortgage sign signals.
Well, we'll try to get Zach back because he had a question about mortgage renewals. So as soon as we get him back on the phone, we'll go right back over. So we're talking about credit cards there when we were talking about a credit facility. Is there any other way that these U.S. banking practices have changed Canadian credit practices?
Well, one really, really big thing that we can look at that everybody, I'm sure, is aware of is sales. Nothing like a good old sale to bring everybody in the doors, right? And recently, Bank of Montreal had what they do a lot in the United States, had a big sale, and we all read about it. 5-year mortgage, 2.99%. And supposedly everybody was going to flock because that was absolutely, what were our rates at the time? 3.29?
That's correct.
So there they were offering 30 basis points down from everybody else. And it just was all over the headlines. It got them more media coverage than any other thing I've seen in a long, long time. Now, this is an American practice, and this is what got so many Americans in trouble, was that they had gotten these nicely discounted rates. Now, in Canada, it was much less of a discount. In the U.S., it was often a practice to put these rates on for two percentages off the regular rate. But in Canada, they took it down 30 basis points, or a third of a percentage, trying to draw in the customers. But it was these discounted rates, which when they came up for renewal, that nobody was able to pay anymore because they went from a low rate of maybe 2% up to a rate of 5 or 6% after 2 years. That practice of putting sales on in hugely discounted rates is something that was introduced in Canada now with BMO. I don't think it was very successful in the industry. What we were seeing a lot of on the blogs and the chats amongst brokers and agents was that people went to them to see if they could get it. And, of course, BMO has a no, we're not going to deal with brokers policy. So they were told what this product was really about, which was a no-frills product that wasn't really suitable for anybody to be getting into. And you lost a lot of the clauses in a mortgage product that are to the benefit to the client. And instead, clients were signed up for a 4-year rate at the same rate, which they could get at the time, with their brokers and agents at that time, preferring to have more beneficial options placed in the mortgage document and just have a year less on that kind of rate.
Okay.
Basically, what we call them, Dave, were stripped out mortgages and stripped of either total prepayment privileges or reduced prepayment privileges by 50%, or basically closed-term mortgages that you could not pay out the mortgages in the first 3 years of the five-year term. So while interest rates are a very important part of any mortgage, it is not the only consideration.
All righty. Well, we've got a few seconds before we have to take a break. As soon as we come back, we're going to take our phone calls from Zach and John, who are waiting patiently. And if you'd like to join them, 519-570-2545 is the number to call. News is coming up, then we'll be back with more with Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner of Power Mortgages, online at powermortgages.ca. Ask the Experts, coming back here on 570 News. Thanks so much for joining us. Power Mortgage is my guest today, Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner. You'll find them at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo and online at powermortgages.ca. As promised, let's go over to the phones and take some calls. We'll talk to
This is Eric Thomas coming up next time on Raceline Radio, brought to you by Subaru, direct from the Canadian Motorsports Expo, face-to-face with NASCAR star Carl Edwards at Daytona 500 Preview. We'll be installment one of our Raceline Rewind, featuring replays of some of our earliest interviews as we celebrate 20 years.
As I was saying, let's go over to the phones and finally take some calls and talk to John, who is calling in from Waterloo. Hi, John. You're on 570 News.
Yeah, hi. I just had a question. My mortgage gets renewed in September, and I'm looking to get out of the company I'm with. And I was just curious, when is the earliest I can start looking around for rates to lock in?
Typically, John, 120 days prior to the maturity date of your existing mortgage.
Oh, okay.
Is when most lenders can actually lock an interest rate in. You do have the option, of course, of paying the mortgage out early and taking advantage of today's interest rates. The downside of doing that, of course, with such a short time to go on your existing term, whether or not it would be financially the wisest decision to pay a penalty with.
Yeah, I looked into that and it didn't sound too good to me, so I just thought I'd wait it out.
Yeah, basically, one of the options you do have, though, is to get an approval in place as of today or as of next week, and basically have everything ready to go when you are within 120 days of your expiration date of your existing mortgage, and basically the interest rate will automatically get set for you.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that's helpful. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for your call. Have a great day.
You too, bye.
And let's go right back over to the phones, and I think we actually have Zach standing by once again. Zach, hi there. You're on 570 News.
G'day.
We're finally there, Zach. We've got you on the air.
Awesome. My mortgage is up for renewal one more year from now, approximately another year from now. And I'm with a company, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, ING.
Yes.
And I got it right now at 5.1%. And I'd like to know what to do next.
Well, basically, Zach, same as our previous caller, John, you basically have two options. One is to run the existing term out at your interest rate of over 5%. The other option is to pay a penalty, discharge it now, and take advantage of today's lower interest rates. No matter what you do, if you continue to do nothing for the next 12 months, you're going to continue paying over 5% for your interest rate. If you compare it to the interest rates that are available today, you're going to pay more for your money, regardless if you pay the interest penalty to discharge the mortgage, or if you continue to make your monthly or biweekly payments over the next 12 months. One way or the other, you'll do it. One of the suggestions that I have for people that are in similar circumstances to yourself is there any financial benefit to paying the penalty today to position yourself with today's interest rates and secure basically a really good interest rate for the next 5 years? That's really where the value will come in. As with most people, you will not save any money over the next 12 months. The penalty to discharge is actually going to be more than the difference in the interest rates over the next 12 months. It's really positioning.
Do you think I should lock it in for when it comes up for 7 years or 10 years, like you were saying about the rate?
It really depends on where interest rates are. Though the interest rates that we have available today for those extended terms are very attractive interest rates. In some cases, those interest rates have really not been all that aggressive and have been considerably higher than what we offer on five-year terms. But with those particular interest rates, as of today anyway, those are really good, viable alternatives.
If you need to see a long, steady, continuous rate payment for over a long period of time, meaning you don't think you're going to get rich quick or have lots of big raises coming up, you are looking at something happening like your wife staying home to watch the kids or that, and you want to be very secure in what your monthly payment's going to be, that is the perfect vehicle, a 7 or a 10-year rate. At one time, we were actually able to get 20 and 25-year rates on long-term mortgages, but they've certainly gotten rid of those products. But for someone who really needs to look at a stable payment over the long term, I really recommend a 7-year or a 10-year term, and considering that there's no difference in the rate for a 7 or a 10-year, I'd go 10-year, because it really doesn't lock you in for 10 years, because under mortgage law in Canada, no matter how long your term is, you can have a 10 or a 20-year term. After 5 years, you're allowed to get out of your mortgage with a three-month interest payment, which is a very small payout penalty.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the mortgage rates are going to... They're not going to go down any lower than what you actually are now anyway, probably. Eh?
That'd be my consideration as well, Zach. I think we really bottomed out on the interest rates, and people position themselves today to take advantage of today's interest rates, I think are really making really good long-term decisions.
Yeah, I know, like the U.S. Federal Reserve said they're not going to do nothing with the rate for 2014. And our market reflects on them a lot. I know it does. Well, I think it does anyway. So I think I'm good for Bobby, but just let it ride my mortgage for another year and then see what happens. You think that's a good idea?
Yeah, the best strategy would be to keep your eye on the market. If you want to check in with us from time to time to see where interest rates are trending, basically just watch the signals and see where rates are going. If it looks like rates are going up, You may want to reconsider and pay the penalty to discharge the mortgage now and take advantage of the rates. If there's nothing really sizable happening, then just ride the wave and see where you work out 8 months from now.
Please bear in mind that what's going to determine where the fixed interest rates go, and that's what you're looking at is a fixed interest rate, is where the bond markets are going. And right now the bond markets are starting to trend upward. Whether they will stay there or not, we don't know, and they don't know. But at this point in time, they are starting to trend upward. It should only be a small bit, but we are getting warnings from our lenders that they are looking at putting the rates up.
Okay, thank you for your help, eh?
Thank you for your call, Zach. Have a great day. Okay.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Thanks very much, Zach. And if you've got a question for Kevin, Ann, and Jess, call us at 519-570-2545, out of town, 1-800-570-5715, or *570 on your cell phone. So back to the topic at hand, the Americanization of credit in Canada. So why did the banks bring the U.S. practices back home instead of sticking with the tried and true?
Because they could, and because it was definitely in their best interest. What they are now doing is protecting themselves against all possible events, not just on mortgage money, but on credit cards, car loans, furniture loans, lines of credit, that sort of thing. Any lending vehicle that they have on offer to their clients, they can now securitize it with the second safest investment in Canada after bonds, which is housing. When people go into investments, they put their money, first of all, for the absolute most security, into Canadian savings bonds, because they're backed by the government and the government will always pay out on their bonds. The next safest investment is housing, real estate. Then, after that, is anybody's guess, which is the next safest vehicle for investment money. Banks have now found a way of taking very risky credit vehicles or facilities, as Kevin calls them, like credit cards and car loans and that kind of thing, but do give them a huge rate of return. I mean, when you're paying 18%+ interest on a credit card, you get, and they can secure it with a mortgage, that's great for them.
I'm going to jump in here to say how they're doing that. They're adding a clause into their mortgage standard charges, the terms there that allow them to appropriate payments to any debt. Okay, so what that means is they can take a payment that you make on any of your accounts and apply it to any of the other accounts that you have with them.
Meaning they can take your mortgage payment
and put it towards your car
or your credit card.
Now, what this means for you is, let's say you've lost your job and you have just enough money coming in that you're like, okay, I'm going to pay my mortgage so I don't lose my house. I don't have enough left over to make my car payment. If they take that away, oh well, or I can't make my credit card payment. But if you've got those credit facilities with the same lender, just have to throw that in there. If you've got those facilities with the same lender, they can take your mortgage payment and apply it to your credit card or your car loan, and now you are in default on your home loan, on your house, by not making that payment, and they can put your house up for sale. So in essence, you're trying to keep your house by not paying your other debt, but they can switch it around and put your house up for sale.
That's sneaky.
That's criminal. That's criminal
in our minds.
In my mind, it is allowed. However,
how do you make sure that that doesn't happen?
Do not get a collateral mortgage. Read the terms. Talk to your broker at Power Mortgages so that we can find you a mortgage that isn't like that. Now, this is sort of a foreshadowing into our next show next week, where we're going to be talking about collateral mortgages with a local solicitor here and talking more about the terms. So I don't want to get too much into all these items and different term changes or charges in the standard term. But that is a really big one where they're getting really sneaky and taking care of themselves and not you.
Wow. Okay, you call it criminal, I call it sneaky. It's definitely scary.
It is scary.
So, and Dave doesn't want to ask my opinion.
You know what, Kevin? I will ask your opinion. What do you think?
I think it's a combination of both, and I have a huge issue with the lack of disclosure and the false sense of security that consumers get when they leave it up to their bank, their financial institution, or their bank representative as their friend to take care of them.
Now, do you know that two-thirds of Canadians still walk into their local branch and sign their mortgage contract without knowing all the details? The loyalty that people have to their bank is unbelievable when the bank doesn't have that loyalty back to them. And one smart way of thinking is when they're putting in this extra term where they can appropriate your payment and put it towards any of the other debt, perhaps you should consider keeping your mortgage with a lender who does not hold any of your other debt.
That's
put all your eggs in one basket.
Sorry, Anne.
That's another way of protecting yourself. Another really discouraging sign is another clause that has been being put in lately that says, in essence, that no matter who racks up the debt, whether it's you, your wife, or if you've given a credit card to your son, you are still responsible for that debt, and it is still securitized by your mortgage. So if you and your wife or your husband are separating and that other person continues to max out credit cards, you're separated, you're not living together, you're going through a divorce, and you and that other person has continued to spend like crazy and starts maxing out all of the credit cards, you are still responsible for the payment of those credit cards. It's no longer done in just their name. The banks have said that anybody who signed this mortgage document, this collateral mortgage document, remains responsible and on the hook for all debts until it's discharged of all parties to the contract.
Wow. This is one time where you really do have to read the fine print and understand everything. And it probably would be a lot easier if you had a good mortgage broker on your side. Let me think. Power Mortgages. Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner are my guests today. You'll find their office at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo. You can give them a call at 519-886-1993 or learn more online at powermortgages.ca. We're going to take a short break, then we'll be back with more right here on 570 News. And once again, it's time to feature Kevin Power, with his Ask the Expert Show Rate Specials.
Thank you, Dave. Five-year fixed-term money closing in 120 days, 3.49%. Further discounted first three callers after the show. New customers only, subject to credit approval. And these rates could change at any moment or at any time without any further notice. Anyway, 3.29% for money, new business, new five-year term mortgages closing within 30 days. We have variable rate mortgages at prime, which is at 3% today. 7-year and 10-year term mortgages currently at 3.99%.
If you'd like to take advantage of those exceptional rates, just give Kevin a call directly after the show at 519-240-2967. That's 240-2967. So while all of these lovely and scary changes are happening, where is the Canadian government? Where do they stand on all these changes?
Before we jump in there, I just want to clarify one thing from what we were speaking about before. And that's that when you sell your matrimonial home, the clause we're talking about, it enables the lender to demand that all the accounts you have with them be settled from the proceeds of the sale before you get anything extra. So that's where one spouse or someone else could keep racking up debt, and although you would be splitting the equity from your matrimonial home, that equity can instead be used to pay off the debt that they've been accumulating without you.
Okay. Did you want to add anything, Ann?
No, thank you for that clarification.
All right. Let's get back to the Canadian government, because everyone loves to talk about the Canadian government. What are they doing? Where do they stand on these banking changes?
Well, the whole concept, I think, Dave, really gets down to the federal government saying the amount of debt that Canadians are carrying, and it continues to increase. And there's only really one thing that they should look at in terms of how to address that problem. And I've said for quite a few years, we do not have a mortgage problem in Canada. We have a consumer debt problem. And the reason why we have a consumer debt problem really has to deal with the fact of the revolving credit accounts, credit cards, personal lines credit, HELOCs, credit facilities, revolving credit facilities that are available to people.
Or as one of my other guests who's on the show a lot just refers to them as debt cards. Because that's what they are.
The Death Star, maybe. Mm-hmm. Anyway, when I started in this industry, not all that many years ago, when I was 19 years of age,
just a couple years ago, Kevin,
what dinosaur did you ride in?
Anyway, installment loans. When we sat down with people who are looking to finance a car, some of the questions we would ask is, how many miles do you drive your vehicle in a year? And what we were really doing was trying to position a car loan that would meet the needs of the people, and when they had the car miled out, they actually didn't owe any money on it, and then it was still worth something. So we actually took into consideration a debt retirement program. And there is nothing today that's geared anywhere whatsoever to retire any debt. Creditors do not want it happening. There's only money in debt when people owe you something. So there's no motivation to help people retire the debt, get out of debt. Some of the studies have shown if you just make the minimum payments on a credit card, regardless of balance, whether it's $5,000 or $50,000, it will take you 47 years to pay off a debt if you just make the minimum payments on it.
That's crazy.
And that is a whole bunch of money, and that's where the issue is in consumer debt in Canada today. Lenders bill for interest only. They bill for 1% of the balance or 1.5%. People are just in a constant state of debt. nobody has really talked to people in quite a few years now in terms of providing products to them to help them get out of debt. And some of the serious things that we see are people that owe $30,000, $40,000 on revolving credit. They bought a car with the unsecured line of credit or whatever, and they've had the car for 3 or 4 years. It's got 300,000 kilometers on it, and they still owe $30,000 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And next week the engine blows up, and they got to go and buy a new vehicle. Well, guess what happens now? Now you owe $60,000.
What I want to talk about at this juncture is, what do we know about the debt that Canadians are in? And CMHC has put out a report called the Canadian Housing Observer 2011 with a feature on housing finance. And right at the very opening on page one on their overview, it talks about household indebtedness. Now, bear in mind that even though it's a separate branch of the government, CMHC is still the talking head for the federal government in terms of housing finance. You know, it is not a publicly traded company. This is an arm of the government that was set up in place a lot of years under the Housing Act to help Canadians own their own homes. That's the purpose of it. And to allow banks, which couldn't lend above 60% on a house, to now lend up to higher amounts on housing so that they could increase their profile. And this, what it did is make money available for Canadians to get into their homes, because that was the goal of the Canadian government after servicemen returned from World War II. So the government cannot be ignorant of what CMHC has found and is saying in their reports. And what it is saying is that in 2010, residential mortgages represented about 68% of total household debt. This compares to a low of 63% in 1971 and a high of 75% in 1993. This shows us that in 1993, housing debt was 75% of household debt. It is now down to 68%. So household debt is trending down. It's not trending up, but if you, as you read the newspapers, you think everybody's going down that hill in a handbasket, sliding out of control, when in fact Canadian household debt is trending down. And it isn't as low as it was in 1971, but given how much credit has changed and people's use of credit has changed since 1971, I would say that 68% is a big improvement over where we were in 1993, where it was at 75%.
Just to reiterate with Kevin, with his opinion there on Canadians and how they're using their debt or they're using credit, I read an article in Time from June 9th, and they're citing a survey from the Globe and Mail. Basically, there was a statement saying, I don't like using credit cards for essential purchases like my groceries. Well, about 3 years ago, half of Canadians polled agreed with this, but a couple years later, we're down 8% and only 42% of Canadians agree with that. People are starting to use their credit cards at the grocery stores. And you may remember a time when you had to use cash or debit. You could not use a credit card at a grocery store. Now you have to use, now people are using credit cards, and more grocery stores are allowing that. That just lets you know how we're really changing our view and use of credit.
Okay. It's not particularly encouraging.
No, it's not.
But, you know, maybe if enough people listen to the show and change their habits, we'll make a small dent here in KW. You're smiling, Kevin. Did you want to say something?
I think I'm really glad that we can still use our credit cards to buy at the liquor store and the beer store. Essential purchases.
Oh, dear, good
Essential
point.
I don't think we're going to change that, but I do think we need to change government's attitude towards the lenders that are encouraging these habits.
Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner were my guests today. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Dave.
And we will see you again very soon.
Yes, we'll see you next Saturday.
All right. And thank you for listening. Noon News is next, and we'll be back with more of Ask the Experts here on 570 News.